Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. That's what the book says, the Bible says. Deuteronomy 11:26, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord. And people today walking under a curse, they open the door to that thing by disobeying God. Especially that's true of Christians. When you know what's right and you will not do it, there's going to be a curse come on you. And you can say, well, God did it. Actually, you opened the door to the devil and he did it. Somebody say amen. Amen. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord. And I take that very literally. If God tells me to do something, I'm going to do it if it kills me. Because I don't want a curse on me. And you can pray until you know if it's God or not. And I've learned to do that. And I pray until I know it's God. And then get out of my way, because I will do it. And God will enable me to do it and help me do it. And same for you. Same for you. If God tells you to do it, he'll help you do it. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 6 says, through the fear of the Lord, a man avoids evil. Through the fear of God, a man avoids evil. I have avoided many evil things that could have destroyed my life, wrecked my life, because I had a healthy, reverent fear of God and I refused to disobey him. Isn't that a good scripture? Through the fear of the Lord, a man avoids evil. The communists have a communist manifesto. It's a statement of what they believe. Read it. It's insane. You have to be a little bit insane to believe that. And yet America is going communist, Marxist. Better be paying attention right now. They're really talking out loud about taking away all private property. They're talking about taking away your house. And you need to know what that statement says. And it says plain as a nose on your face. I read it last week. That the goal of communists is to take away all private property. All private property. Make you their slave. You live in their little apartment where they want you to live. And they tell you what to do. Now, if you like that, move to China. Leave us alone. But that's not what they're doing. And so I'm giving you a Christian manifesto, what Christians believe. The number one thing a Christian has to know, you need to have a healthy fear of God. That's the number one thing. Through the fear of the Lord, a man avoids evil. Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. It is a sin to break God's commandments. And Americans, they have no respect for God's commandments at all. They have, for the most part, seem to have no fear of God. Whatever feels good, whatever I want to do. When I was growing up, it was totally different. Even people who weren't living right said, well, I'm not living right, but I know it and I've got to change. They don't say that today. They say, what I'm doing is okay. You mind your own business. Amen. Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. It is a sin to break God's commandments. Proverbs 16:12, it is an abomination to kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness. We must elect leaders who have a healthy fear of breaking God's commandments. Somebody say amen. Amen. Lazy Christians, get off your do nothing and get out. And research, find out who the most godly person is, and elect him as mayor. You want to have a good police force? Elect a good godly mayor. We all must obey God's word. Deuteronomy 6:24, and the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always. It's good for people to have a healthy, reverent fear of God and knowing that if they break his commandments, there's going to be consequences. And you say, well, I don't believe that. It's going to happen to you anyway. Look at the people who are living like the devil. Many of them have been destroyed, and the devil's taking them straight down to hell, right from this earth. And people just go, and they don't seem to notice. They just keep right on going over the edge of the cliff. Listen, you need to pay attention to the preacher that's preaching the truth and turn to God, turn away from your sin, because judgment day is coming. And it's not necessarily just when the Lord comes back. Judgment day can come when a person drops dead or killed in a car wreck or shot dead. In America today, you need to know you're saved before you go out your door. Somebody may be trying to shoot you that don't even know you. They just thought it'd be a good day to go out and shoot somebody. Isn't that interesting? The Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always. These commandments are for your good and for my good. So, well, it's so hard to keep them. If you're born again, it's not that hard. Just invite Jesus Christ in your life. Then it says that he might preserve us alive as it is today. If we want this nation to live, we need to have the people turn back to God some way. And people can say America is evil. America's not evil. Our government, constitution, everything is just fine. It's been working for 250 years. The people are evil. We need to get that straight. And people who We'll say what I'm preaching is hate speech and attack me. Well, you're condemning people. Those same people are aborting babies every day and promoting illicit sex every and every way they can, pushing pornography, and they make fun of me for preaching the gospel. They're as evil as they can be. And that's why this nation is in trouble. It's not because of the politicians. It's because of ungodly, immoral people. You say, well, some of the politicians are immoral. Well, the people are going to get people like themselves. People elect people like themselves. That's why Christians got to go vote. It is for our good that we fear and obey God and obey his commandments. He will preserve us alive who obey him. I know the world's in a mess, but God's people who are obeying him, God's going to bless us. He's going to take care of us. How many in this room, you know God's blessing you already, and you're excited about what God is doing. You're not worried about what's going on around the world because God's taking care of you. But at the same time, we need to be praying for the salvation of this country. Can you say amen? Like I ended last week, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. They won't attack good, godly people and make fun of us, but we're the only hope they have. Isaiah 54, verse 14, if you want to help me, you need to spread these sermons around. Can you say amen? Let people, send people a copy of them. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 14, well, all you got to do is tell them to go to YouTube. Can you say amen? Isaiah 54, verse 14, in righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear. When you fear God, it takes away fear of everything else. Because if you have a healthy fear of God, you're going to be doing your best to obey him. For thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come anear thee. Verse 17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. Who's that for? The righteous. Well, I'm not very righteous. Are you saved? Are you born again? Are you washed in the blood? Quit saying you're not righteous. If you're washed in the blood, in God's eyes, you're righteous. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has set us free from the law of sin and death. That law of sin and death is broken off of you, and you do not have any condemnation. You're washed clean, stand before God righteous as if you never sinned one time. Verse 17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. I walk around sinning all the time. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Those people saying bad things about me, they're going to face the judgment of God. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. You see, this is what happens when we are afraid to disobey God and disobey His word. God blesses us, protects us, and He takes care of our enemies so we have nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. This says a righteous people will not be oppressed and will not live in terror. The weapons of our enemies will not prosper against us. And the Christians in America have a lot to do with that. If we pray and seek God, God will spare the whole nation because of us. I think it's in Daniel, they're told to pray for their city because he says, if I'm going to bless you, I got to bless your city. If God's going to bless us, we need to believe Him to bless our country and to bless good old Knoxville. We sure got our problems. And we need God to bless this place. And He has. Ever since I've been here, He's blessed the place. And it's not just because of me. It's people like you that stand faithful to God and pray and seeking God. And He continues to bless this place because of our prayers. That's the gospel truth. I don't know if I believe that. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, then will He from heaven forgive their sin and heal their land, heal their city, heal their county, heal their state. Psalm 145, verse 19, He fulfills the desires of those who fear Him. Do you fear Him? Do you fear Him? Then claim that. If you truly fear Him and you're righteous before God, you're not going to desire anything that's ungodly. Psalm verse 45, verse 19, He fulfills the desires of those who fear Him. He hears His cry and saves them. Verse 20, the Lord watches over all who love Him, but all the wicked He will destroy. Eventually, and I don't believe God's destroying anyone right now, people are reaping what they're sowing. But the day's going to come on judgment day, He is going to punish those who refuse to accept Christ. Psalm chapter 34, verse 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that, what? Fear Him. The fear of God is, I'd say, the number one principle of Christianity. You must have a healthy, reverent fear of God, enough so to obey Him. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. The Lord delivers me from every trap and every wile and strategy of the devil, including spirits of infirmity, sickness, and disease, because I have a healthy fear of God and a fear of disobeying His word. You see, this is a healthy, reverent kind of fear. I don't live in fear of God He's going to hit me with lightning. I live in fear of God if I disobey Him. Okay. We are afraid to disobey Him. If we obey Him, He will provide everything we need. Look at 1 Timothy 4:8. Godliness is profitable. Well, if you live for God, you'll always be on the wrong side of the tracks. Well, the only problem with that, that's just coming from preachers that don't know the word of God. Oh, you're going to have your problems because the devil hates you. And the devil's disobedient crowd hates you. But God's going to take care of you. Says plainly not to fear them, because he that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. We take that as some kind of mystical thing. No, it means what it says. He that's in me is greater than the devil. Godliness is profitable. 1 Timothy 4:8. Psalm 103, verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. Serving God has had a lot of benefits for me. A lot of benefits. And that comes from Psalm 103. It says, Forget not all of his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so thy youth is renewed as the eagles. Do you think that's pretty good benefits? Pretty good benefits. See, God rewards godly behavior, but punishes ungodly behavior eventually. Doesn't do it quickly. And a lot of times we think, well, they got away with it. No, they didn't. See, God is a God of love and justice. And if you hadn't noticed, God is helping me. We've in and out justice and love, justice and the blessings of God all through these scriptures so far. You pick, you choose. I set before you today a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you keep my commandments, and a curse if you will not keep my commandments. Look at Psalm 9, verse 17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Americans today have forgotten the God who created this great nation. They believe they can live however they want without facing God's judgment, because secular humanist Marxists have told them there is no God. The Ten Commandments are irrelevant, and they have no application for the modern life. Do anything you want to do. Whatever feels good, just do it. And they're sending people to devil's hell when they listen to them. They believe they can live any way they want to, but God says the wicked shall be turned into hell. You can live any way you want to. I'm going to preach this and go to lunch. We each have to make a choice. Am I going to serve God or not? And I know some people say, well, don't ever mention hell. Don't ever tell people about the judgment of God. I'm afraid I go to hell if I don't. You know why? Because in Ezekiel it says, if the watchman does not warn the people, they shall perish in their ways, and their blood will be required at the watchman's hands. There's not going to be any blood on my hands. I'm going to tell you the goodness of God and the justice of God. It's like a coin, two sides. You can have the blessing and the favor of God, or you can face the judgment of God. I have to tell you that to keep your blood off my hands. Amen. And Paul said the same thing. He said, I'm free from your blood because I have preached to you the full gospel. So Paul believed that. Because it's God's word. You see, when people abandon God, he abandons them. And that's true of nations. We need to pray that the Christians will step up right now, stand in for this nation, and do everything they can to win people to Jesus, not be mad at them, but try to win them over. But he will not abandon his saints. He's got his hand on us, and we know it. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 17. When he saw Elijah, the king, he said to him, is that you, you troubler of Israel? See, that's what they're saying right now in America. The cause of the problems is these radical right Christians. And they're just talking about born again. But people that believe abortion is murder. We're evil because we believe little babies should be protected. We're evil because we preach against immoral and godly sex sins. Well, you're a bunch of bigots. No, we're just preaching the gospel. You're the ones that's murdering babies and promoting ungodly behavior. In some cases, encouraging assassinations. A big percentage of Americans say it's okay to assassinate people if you disagree with them. What in the world? What is this? And pay attention. If you don't know that, pay attention. And don't let anybody tell you to censor yourself. Other people say, well, don't listen to this station. Don't listen to this news outlet. Just listen to this one. They're telling you for a reason. They don't want you to hear the truth. Don't self-censor. Get out there and find out for yourself what the truth is. You're going to answer to God if you don't know the truth. You shall know the truth, and truth will set you free. You have to do a little effort sometimes to know the truth. I'm not going to self-censor. And people tell me, well, don't. They tell me not to listen to it. I'm going to listen to it. That's exactly what I'm going to listen to, because there's a reason they're telling me not to listen to it. Y'all still glad you came to church? Somebody said I hadn't been glad the whole time. But look at that. 1 Kings 18, 17, when the king saw Elijah, he said to him, is that you, you troubler of Israel? They demonize good, godly people then as they do today. And that's the first thing Marxists do, is demonize good, godly people. First thing. Just study history, for crying out loud. Verse 18, have not made trouble, Elijah said. I have not made trouble for Israel, Elijah replied. But you and your father's family have. You have abandoned the Lord's commands and have followed the Baals. You have followed the secular humanists. You've believed their lies and their deception. We can cause problems for America by abandoning God's commandments. My generation brought trouble to America by introducing the new morality and turning away from the Word of God. My generation did that. It started when I was in college. And that's when the girls begin to burn their bras and demand to live in dorms with men. My generation. And look what it's got us. A lot of the poverty in America is because a baby's born out of wedlock and there's no father there to help take care of that baby. And we, the government's having to help pay a lot of that expense. It's because of immorality, ungodly behavior. Amen. America did not have the crime and violence we faced now when I was in school. School was a happy place. The only thing we ever got in trouble for was spit wads and chewing chewing gum. That's the truth. Oh, sometimes us guys get a little miffed at each other and go out behind the bill and punch each other time or two, then come back around hugging each other. I live there. I know I got hit in the mouth one time and my front tooth went all the way through my lip. I was a scrapper. So you must have been brave and tough. No, I was afraid not to. I knew they'd really beat me up if I didn't fight back, so I just fought back. If you're going to get beat up, you might as well get in a few licks. That's the way I looked at it. And then when I really rededicated my life to the Lord in the 10th grade, went back to school, the devil says, they're going to beat you to death because you can't fight. Whoever came up with that, I can't fight. I can fight. But I didn't have to. It's like I had a radar protective shield around me. Those old bullies come up, you think you can whip me? And all of a sudden they just kind of look funny, start backing away. There was something around me. Protected me. Can you say amen? It's around you too. You just may not be conscious of it. The devil, God's got his hand on you, and the devil really can't reach through that radar if you know who you are and you rebuke him. Say, get out of here, devil. You see, our problems aren't caused by global warming, but by Americans abandoning God's law. Storms aren't worse today. It's a proven fact. They were more severe in the early 1900s than they are today. Anybody wants to know the truth, it's out there. Just quit believing anything and everything. The truth is, God isn't protecting the United States of America the way he once did. That's why we're having all these problems. It says, my hand is not shortened that I cannot save, nor ear heavy that I cannot hear, but your sins have separated between you and your God. And so the hand of God has been lifted off of this nation because of our sin and rebellion against God. That's why we're having all the horrible storms. They're not any worse than they were in the early 1900s, proven fact. If you're paying attention and studying, I'm a history major, if you're doing your little study and working at it, yeah, the problem is God's not protecting us from them the way he used to. People talk about the ice storm. In Rome, Georgia, I think it was like 59. I mean, that's a long time ago. Long time ago, we had an ice storm in Rome, Georgia, 5 inches of sleet. I was in school when it started. The buses couldn't get out. I mean, it was a mess. But somehow my parents finally got me home. And that ice storm, it's a 53-acre farm, and we had a lot of pine trees. And it made good pulpwood. You could use that for all kind of stuff. The ice storm tore nearly all of our trees down. It took us years to cut all that mess up, clean it up. While storms are worse today, even the ice storm we just had wasn't that bad in Georgia. I think 3 or 4 people just started paying attention. I just saw them go. You see, we blame politicians But we need to blame our ungodly selves. And we Christians haven't always been perfect either. Sometimes we slander each other, and abuse each other, attack each other. That's not acceptable. See, we need to blame ourselves, not the politics. We need to blame ourselves for having bad politicians when we don't vote. But you can't blame them for the ungodliness in America because they're just a reflection of what the people are. We need to repent of a rebellion against God's word, all of us, and obey the Lord. Isaiah 59 verse 1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor the ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. That's the King James Version. Sometimes I'm reading one and quoting another. The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is it heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. That's why when a storm came right down through here, I was at my house and I realized the word was out. Tornadoes were on the way. I stood in front of the window and hail was beating on that. Well, like it's going to break in front of me, and I stood right in front of me. I said, I rebuke you, you foul lying devil. You're not going to destroy my house. You're not going to destroy the house of our people. You're not going to destroy that church. I take authority over you. That tornado went right down through here, and you couldn't get through George Gray for a long time because of all the trees across the road. And then it tore down there. All the trees right here on the corner, the light, ripped the top off the gas tanks over here, waggles, and over here it blew the lid off the trash can. Now, why did I tell you that? Because the world, the evil people in this world may have brought these curses, but we can stop them. Amen. For us, in our church, in our house. Can you say amen? Amen. We just did it, and we've done it many times. Amen. Listen, if you don't believe in the power of God, you better start believing pretty soon. Yay. And because of the medical situations, more and more doctors are quitting. It's getting almost impossible to find a good medical doctor. I know, because Rick is retiring. And it's almost impossible to find a doctor. Well, I don't believe in all this healing stuff. You might want to start believing in it. Somebody say amen. It may be all the only way you have to get healed is believing the word of God. Now, I'm not predicting that, but I know it's getting bad right now. Isaiah 59, verse 1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor the ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. 2 Chronicles 12, 1, after Rehoboam's position as king was established and he had become strong, now I want you to remember this story because it illustrates the whole message, I think, very clearly. After Rehoboam's position, the king, was established, he and all Israel with him abandoned the law of the Lord. They abandoned the word of God just as America has. Because they had been unfaithful to the Lord, Shishak, king of Egypt, attacked Jerusalem in the fifth year of King Rehoboam. When they abandoned the Lord, notice, their enemies attacked. This is what happens to us as individuals as well. When we abandon the Lord's word, we're going to get attacked from the enemy because it opens the door. You need the word to stand on the word to defeat the enemy. Verse 5, then the prophet Shemaiah came to Rehoboam and to the leaders, and he said to them, this is what the Lord says. You have abandoned me, therefore I now abandon you. I abandon you to Shishak. Now what if he should say to us, I now abandon you to China. I now abandon you to Russia. I now abandon you to Iran. I now abandon you to North Korea. We don't want that. We already have big problems. We must stop hating each other and stand together as one man against our enemy. Stand together and Preach what's right and do what's right. So what's right? What's right is being a good Samaritan and loving people and helping people, not cursing them and making fun of them and making a joke out of them. No matter if they are doing something immoral and godly, we are good Samaritans and we love everybody. But we still do not abandon the word. We still speak the truth. I love you, but this is sin. I'm not going to hate you because you're in sin. I'm telling you that because I love you and I know what sin's going to do to you. I have to speak the truth because I love people. If you love people, you don't want them to be destroyed by sin. Verse 6, the leaders of Israel and the king humbled themselves and said, the Lord is just. I see some of that in America. More and more people seem to be really making an effort to turn back to God. People seem to be preaching the truth more and more. It gives me hope that America is not finished. When the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, this word of the Lord came to Shemaiah. Since they have humbled themselves, I will not destroy them, but I will soon give them deliverance. My wrath will not be poured out on Jerusalem through Shishak. Because you've humbled yourself and repented, I'm not going to follow through on my threat. That's what he said. My wrath will not be poured out on Jerusalem through Shishak. This is why the Lord told me to preach this. It's not too late to repent. It's not too late for God's people to pray for this nation and see it turn around. When God abandons us because of our sins, the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Destruction is happening all around us with the storms and the fires. It's unbelievable what's happening in this country and all the violence. But if we will repent, we need to repent of a racial hatred, ungodly sex sins, abortion, murdering innocent unborn babies, and a rebellion against God's word. We need to repent and turn back to the word of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. Americans today not only break God's laws, but make up their own code of ethics. Oh, I'm going to do what's right for me. That's not what the Bible says. Do what feels good. That's not what the Bible says. I have my truth and you have your truth. That's not what the word says. Jesus said, I am the truth. Period. All things are relative. No, they're not. There are no absolutes. Yes, they are. And God tells us to do what is right for others, not what is right for us. Do whatever feels good for you, whatever's right for you. No, you're supposed to do what's good for others. Love your neighbor as yourself. Treat people the way you want to be treated. You understand that's totally opposite to Christianity? That's totally opposite to what Jesus taught. Read the story of the Good Samaritan. He didn't tell the Samaritan to do what feels good. The Samaritan got down that ditch and helped his enemy, the Jew. And Jesus said, go and do like him. If America would start treating people the way they want to be treated and start being good Samaritans, all crime would stop today. Just like that. The answer is right here in God's manifesto. Been there all the time. First Corinthians, let's read some tough stuff. 1 Corinthians 6:16. It's in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 6:16. Pretend it's not there. Not reading it doesn't change it. 1 Corinthians 6:16. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it says that two will become one flesh. Verse 18. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Sex outside of marriage is a sin against God and one's own body. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5, for this you know that no fornicator has any inheritance in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Doesn't matter what anybody says, it matters what God says. No one who continues sexual immorality will inherit the kingdom of God. We need to confess our sins, repent, 1 John 1:9, confess our sins and repent. Can you say amen? If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us, not sit around and feel guilty over it, but admit it's sin before God and confess it as sin and ask him to forgive you. It can't be that simple. Well, it is. Don't sit around under condemnation, confess it as sin and get rid of it, and with God's help, don't do it again. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. You see, I was appointed to be a preacher before I was conceived. No one has the right to terminate an innocent human life. Exodus chapter 21, verse 22, people say the Bible doesn't really teach against it. I mean, it teaches from beginning to end, human life is sacred. We're not just another animal. Your kids are taught, well, you're just another animal. That is a lie straight from Satan himself. God has breathed breathed life into you, and you have a spirit in you that animals do not have. Exodus 21, verse 22, if men who are fighting hit a pregnant woman, this is the NIV, and she gives birth prematurely. The other translations say and mean exactly the same thing, just different words. It's in the Hebrew. I checked it out. It's there. If men who are fighting hit a pregnant woman and she gives birth prematurely, but there is no serious injury, the offender must be fined whatever the woman's husband demands and the court allows, verse 23. But if there is serious injury to the fetus, if there is, or the unborn baby, I don't like calling it a fetus. I was there, you were there, we were, all we are now, we were then. But if there is serious injury, you are to take life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, and foot for foot. In other words, whatever harm is done to the fetus, that same thing is to be done to the one causing the harm. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, and life for life. If the offender kills the baby, he gets the death penalty. Now, that's what God said. I know it's hard to apply that to our modern world, but that's the way God sees it. He sees it as murdering innocent human life. I just got to tell you the truth. You can do with it what you want. We see here in God's eyes the unborn baby is to be protected like everyone else. That's why I read that. God says, I want that baby protected. 1 Corinthians 6:9, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Those who practice sin, rebellion against God. Not somebody who sins and then repents of it, but somebody, if you can just keep going on in your sin, I'm just going to have to say, you're not saved. You're not right with God. If you can just live in sin and enjoy it, there's something wrong. You're a new creation in Christ. His law has been programmed in your heart. And when you break that law, you're going to feel upset on the inside. Because that's not who you are. Keep going here. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor abusers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals. Some of the people who practice these lifestyles and will not turn from it or repent. Verse 10. Nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Us Christians pick out one or two of those things and then we seem to think everything else is okay. It's not. Okay. In the name of Jesus, swindlers will not inherit the kingdom of God. But all the swindlers, please raise your hand. I want to know who you are. Okay. No swindlers here. You see, many Americans approve all these sins and call people bigots who speak against them. You can call me what you want to, but I have no choice. I love people enough, I got to preach the truth. Do not be deceived. Just listen to the Bible. 1 John 3:15. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. All the hate being spewed all over America. Don't you get caught up in that? That'll send you to hell. Well, how can you say that? I didn't. It's right here in the Bible. 1 John 3:15. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. So you say, well, I don't commit adultery, you know, I don't murder anybody. Well, if you have hatred in your heart, it's called murder. In the Bible. And when you carry hatred in your heart, it really hurts you more than it does anyone else. All of the ungodly and haters do not have eternal life in them. I'm people who really, truly hate. And they must repent. Here's what Jesus said in Luke 12:5. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. This is the head man himself, your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him, which after he hath killed, hath power to cast into hell. Fear him. Jesus said that. One of the number one principles of the Christian faith, of the Christian manifesto, is you must fear God. Jesus said it. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. And you folks who love the King James, that's King James. And it's what Jesus said. 1 John 1:9. I think probably the most important scripture in the Bible. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, it all ends on a happy note when we're willing to say, I know this is wrong based on the word of God. I confess it as sin, and Lord, ask you to forgive me. If you'll do that, I mean, he'll forgive you on the spot. You say, how can you know that? Because he's faithful and just to keep his word. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we need to repent and then obey God's word as it enables us to do so. The Bible says a righteous nation will be exalted, meaning that if the people are righteous, the Bible says a righteous nation. The people need to be righteous. The Constitution's okay. It's the people in this country. The United States is not wicked. It's the people. Well, this nation's wicked. No, it's not the nation. It's the people. God is calling for Americans to repent. We not only break God's laws, but make up our own moral code. You see, there is a way for all of us to be blessed again, live by God's Bible. Get back to the Word of God. We all must become doers of the Word of God, and it needs to start right now by confessing our sins. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, faithful and just. Well, I didn't feel anything. He's still faithful and just. Let's all stand.